Okay, let's open up to Revelation 3 tonight. I'll be turning to a few other places too. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Very familiar passage, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, so here's God's counsel, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Let's just pause there and pray. Oh, Lord, one more time we come back to you here this Sunday and ask you once again to speak to us through your holy book. I pray that the thoughts that have been gathered together here yesterday and through part of the day today, that you might be able to bless those. And Father, give us fruitfulness from what we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, so y'all know that these churches from Revelation 2 and 3, that there's multiple layers of information there. First of all, the churches are historic in the sense that they were historic churches in the past in that area of the world, what is essentially now Turkey. You also know that those churches are prophetic. By prophetic, I mean when you study primarily the doctrine found in these churches, that points to the Great Tribulation. So these are, so first of all, you have historic. Secondly, you have prophetic. Then you also have them spiritualized or devotionalized. And out of that, we get the idea that we are a devotional Laodicean church. You know that in this day and age that the church is neither cold nor hot oftentimes. It's lukewarm. The Philadelphia church was the church of the open door. That's when the great missionary works and endeavors began and ended during the Philadelphia church period. It reigned for about 500 or 600 years. And now we've edged as men started correcting the Bible and not keeping the Word of God. We've moved into Laodicea now. And so we often say that nowadays in this Laodicean church frame, meaning that devotionally speaking, we live in the Laodicean church just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, right? Okay, that said, we are, if that is our virtue, the church itself is in pretty bad shape. Verse 15, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. And he wants them either cold or hot. Their works are bad. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So they have a major issue. Now their profession, our profession, you might say in some cases, is thou sayest I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so you have a profession there, and there is a need to repent, verse 18, I calls upon them to repent. Verse 19, as many as I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Now, I wanted to show you something about the Lord's counsel there. It says in verse 18, as bad as the news is for Laodicea, he does not say you just deserve to be squashed and that's all of it. Because he says, I counsel, there's counsel to be taken. I counsel thee, first of all, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. It's not hopeless. You can still be rich. There was a church back here in chapter 2, verse 9. If you'd let me take you back there just a moment. Chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So there's a church, Smyrna, going through a hard, hard time tribulation-wise as far as trouble. He says, I know that you're poor, and I know that you're going through things, but really, thou art rich. Now, the Laodicean testimony is that we say we are rich, but we're poor and miserable and blind and naked. But he says, you can be rich if you just will. Now, notice what verse 18 says. He says, I counsel thee several things. First of all, to buy. So this is not a gift. Salvation's a gift. But the part that we're talking about for us tonight is not a gift. There's something to be earned. There's something to be bought. It's not given. There's a price to be paid. He says, I counsel thee to buy and notice of me. This comes from God. Those 10 virgins in Matthew 25, they were told to go buy oil. Now, that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. You know as well as I that that's not how we get saved. That's not how we get raptured. But those folks were called to go buy. There's works involved. They were to buy it from somebody here. He says, buy of me. Buy of me. This comes from God. We have to concentrate on these things. Remember, buy. Remember of me. And he says, buy of me gold. All right? Gold. Not Bitcoin. Not stock shares. Not paper. Not greenbacks. Okay? Buy of me gold. And you know some of the part of what gold plays in the Bible. It shows up something like 450 times or something like that. There's no other metal that shows up, no precious metal that shows up so often. Diamonds don't even show up in the Bible. Maybe they're called something else, but they don't show up in the Bible. But gold shows up. It is the standard of excellence and riches. Gold shows up 417 times, I think, something like that. But he says, buy of me gold, and he adds, tried in the fire. So that's part of the price. You need something from God that is tried in the fire, and the end of it is that thou mayest be rich. So we're not hopeless. We can still be rich. I'm talking about spiritually rich, right? The Laodicean church is not hopeless. It can recover. It can repent. It can buy of God gold tried in the fire and thereby be rich. You can take that gold and, you know, 1 Corinthians 3 says that another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so you go to work and you lay up gold, silver, precious stones, and you build with that. You build with that gold that you get from God. It comes at a price, but you take and do something with that, and you come out at the judgment seat of Christ rich. It's not too late. So let me preach a little while on that thou mayest be rich. And let me show you what this is not. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And here's some gold that's mentioned, but this is not what he's talking about. Proverbs chapter 11. And notice verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, there's your gold, right? So is a fair woman which is without discretion. So, a fair woman without discretion is like a gold jewel in a swine's snout. Now, I like pigs, but they are ugly, nasty beasts. And Here's a case where this woman is fair. So is a fair woman. Now, I know that women do things to embellish their looks, and frankly, so do guys. But in general, you're born with your looks. In general, you're born good-looking or ugly as a mud fence. It's just the way it is. So, this gold that's mentioned here is not something that she earned from God. This is not something she bought. She was born with these looks. She's born with it. She's good-looking. And the problem is that she has bad character. She's without discretion. And so you have this strange woman oftentimes described in the Bible. She is loud. She's clamorous. You know women that are beautiful, but they're profane. They're indiscreet. They're imprudent. They are the life of the party, and they're so outgoing. But they're just nasty women. And all they really got going for them is their looks. That's the best you can say. He said, and this woman is as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. The swine is the indiscretion, and the fair woman, although she's beautiful, the backdrop of her life and her character is indiscretion and clamorousness and loudness and imprudence. And in the end, it's just ugly, and it never turns out good. So that is not what we're talking about, right? Y'all are really quiet. Who did I make mad already? Look on the other side of this. Look in Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19. We're tracking this gold because the Lord said, I counsel thee to buy of me, gold tried in the fire. So in Psalms chapter 19 and down in verse 7, Psalms 19, 7, you read, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's talking about the Word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, talking about the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, talking about, guess what? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Okay? I take from that, first of all, that if you want to find gold, if you want to obey, and if you want to overcome Laodicea, something you have to have is gold that you get from God, that it's bought from the Lord, and it's been tried in the fire. Now, I know of nothing that more clearly epitomizes that than the Word of God. I don't know how Christians make it without the Word of God. I don't know how the folks that claim to be Christians make it from day to day without the Word of God. I don't know how they think that they're going to make it through, but it's the Word of God, first of all, that's gold. Now, gold. What would God want you to have more than His Word? Sure, He wants you to be saved and all those things, but He says, more to be desired are they. More to be desired are these judgments, these laws, these commandments, these testimonies. More to be desired is the Word of God than gold, yea, than much fine gold, right? Look, if you will, in Psalms 119, just real quick, Psalm 119. Psalms 119 and verse 72. Notice, the law of thy mouth, God's mouth, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I mean, the Word of God is likened to gold. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. Psalms 119, 127. 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above gold. All right. Then, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord says, so the way to get this right, the way to be rich, you Laodiceans, is buy of me gold tried in fire. Okay, we already know what the gold is in this case. It's the Word of God. Okay, buy it. Now, I know this means more than just own a Bible. It's fine for you to have a Bible given to you. But the important thing about that to me is that the Bible that you have is your Bible. I mean, I think we just went through this a couple weeks ago, but a Bible personalized. I have a Bible, that big Bible that I teach from was actually given to me as a birthday present by somebody. And so, I mean, I own that Bible. All too often, somebody gets a Bible given to them and it sits around and nothing's done with it. Sometimes if you don't buy it and make it yours, it's not really yours. It's just something that you carry around at convenient times. And nowadays, churches in the main don't even have people bring their Bibles because they have the bouncing ball up behind the head, you know. You say, folks, the point is that the Lord says, buy, make it yours. Buy of me. Now, you want this Bible to be from God. Most of you here know how to determine whether it's from God or not. The Bibles that no blood was shed for, those aren't from God. If somebody didn't pay the price for that Bible, then it's probably not from God. Those Bibles that change the name of Satan to the bright and morning star, the name of Jesus Christ, that is not God's Bible. The Bibles that take the blood of Christ out over and over again, that is not God's book. Those are not God's words. You didn't get that from God. You got that from the devil. You say, you're talking about the ESV and the NIV, and those are perfectly respectable Bibles. No, they're not. They're abominations. They are corruptions. You never know when you're reading them if you're reading the real thing or not. Without a King James Bible. No, you say, well, I disagree. Well, you're wrong. You're just wrong. The Bibles that pick at and undermine the deity of Christ routinely are not God's book. That is not God's word. God didn't expend any blood. No martyrs expended blood to get you those corruptions. You need to find a Bible that men bled and died for, that there was a price paid for, so that you can have real, true gold. Because the Lord said, buy of me, it's got to be my book. Buy of me gold. I don't want Satan co-authoring my book with me. And that's exactly the case if you have an NIV. And by the way, just to make sure that we're clear, folks, you can pick any of them. ASV, New ASV, NIV, New KJV, New KJV, the ESV, the English Standard Version, you just keep going through all of them, the New Revised Standard Version, they all basically change the Bible in all the same places. They are effectively the same Bible, just with different names, and they stand alone and separate. There's this grand division between the King James Bible and them. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you need the Word of God, because He says, more to be desired are they than gold. It's more important to have the Bible that God wrote than it is to have gold. What would it be like to show up at the judgment seat of Christ without a Bible? Now, I'm not suggesting that we're necessarily going to be raptured with our Bibles under our arms. I'm simply saying, though, that while you were here walking through this wilderness, you need a Bible. And what would it be like to show up at the judgment seat of Christ never having truly had a Bible that's yours, that you got from God, that somebody paid the price for having? And by the way, you'll pay the price for having it. People will say ugly things about you because you have a King James Bible. People will say nasty, reproachful things about you because you have a Bible that God wrote. You have to pay the price for it. There is a price of reproach to be paid. So I'm just saying, I'm just applying the verse. The Lord says, make sure you buy of me gold tried in the fire. I think a good place to start is the Bible. Now there's something else I'd have you see. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. We're not hopeless. Sometimes you'll hear a preacher get up and the Laodiceans are hopeless. Well, we're not hopeless. We can be the exception. He said, repent and buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. We can be rich. We can be as rich as the Smyrnas, as the Smyrnans, if you have the gold that's tried in the fire, if you got it from God. In this case, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and go down and notice verse 14. Let's start with verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. I mean, having wisdom and understanding is better than gold, the Proverbs writer says. Verse 15, she, wisdom / understanding, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Pretty important stuff. She says she's like gold. You'd do well to get that. Now notice just to make sure you know how broad this is, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And go down to, you notice in verse 1, where doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice. So wisdom / understanding, I'm not sure she's exactly the same lady, but it comes pretty close. I'm not sure they're exactly the same thing, but they come close. And she's the one talking. So you get down to verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, wisdom says, understanding says, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So wisdom, understanding, and knowledge is better than gold. Look at verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Just another verse, Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Okay, so the Lord says, you Laodiceans, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Okay, we've discovered another gold, have we not? Isn't wisdom, understanding, and knowledge being better than gold, wouldn't that be something the Lord's talking about? Okay, well, you have to take note then that there's more than one kind of wisdom. Look, if you will, in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, now just stop there and ask yourself a question. Am I bitter and full of strife at somebody? At God? At a brother or sister in Christ? Just ask yourself and answer honestly and we'll go on. Right? Okay, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth, this wisdom, the wisdom by whichever wisdom it is that brought you to a place of bitterness and envying, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's a spiritual element to it, there's a sensual element to it, and it's of this earthy, And it's the devil's wisdom. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, heavenly wisdom. The wisdom that comes from God, it's first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of good of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And so that's the wisdom that comes from above. Our Lord said, if you want to break the bonds of Laodicea, buy of me. It has to come from me. It has to. If you're going to buy, if wisdom is gold, then and knowledge is gold, and understanding is gold, then it needs to come from heaven. It needs to be the heavenly brand, not the earthly, sensual, devilish brand. Makes sense, right? Okay, that said, let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a minute. 1 Corinthians 1. All right, go down, if you will, to verse 19. Let's start with verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. So, by the preaching of the gospel, by the gospel that comes from heaven, he said, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So the science, the experts, and all the stuff we talked about this morning in church that everybody leans on so hard down here, the Lord is out to destroy it. He says in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The stuff that comes from down here, he's going to make them look stupid. Verse 21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So when you try to entangle the wisdom of God with the wisdom of the world, it just doesn't work. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ incarnate. So what he stands for is wise, and what stands against him is foolish. It may be wise in this world, but it's foolish. Now, I'm not going to hang you up here forever, but take your Bible one more page over. Look in 1 Corinthians 2 real quick. 1 Corinthians 2, 6, then we'll move along. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them which are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Okay, the Lord says, so I want you to buy of me. It needs to come from me. So since we have defined this gold as wisdom, understanding, and knowledge by the Bible, you need to make sure that the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that you have is from heaven, that it comes from God. Because there is a bunch of horse malarkey that comes from down here. And you can listen to it all day long on the radio if you want to. That stuff this morning about wormholes and big bangs and all that kind of stuff, that is total, complete nonsense. The geological column of evolution is geological nonsense. There's no truth to it. And I just want to say that the Lord says, if you want to be rich, then you buy gold from me. Buy from me gold tried in the fire. Now, this wisdom, the wisdom that's from above, it has been tried in the fire. And, ladies and gentlemen, one of the signs that somebody really has gotten a hold of something is that when they're wise according to the Bible, which is a book that comes from heaven, and they will stand and defend what the Bible says as opposed to what they say out there. And there's an awfully fine line sometimes, because there's a bunch of folks that claim to be Christians that are walking the line real tight, and they want to intermingle this heavenly wisdom with this devilish wisdom, and it doesn't work. I just want to say, you need wisdom. If you want to be rich, you need wisdom. You need understanding. You need knowledge that comes from God. That has to come from the book. It has to come from the book. Okay, look at this. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So we're looking at gold. Proverbs 22. Because I really would prefer not to be a Laodicean that shows up at the judgment seat of Christ, poor, miserable, blind and naked and wretched. It gives me the heebie-jeebies, doesn't it? So in Proverbs 22, notice verse 1. Okay. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So having a good name and loving favor is better than gold. And the Lord says, okay, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Okay, so the good name is not just a good name among men. The good name is a good name with God. Now that's how I'm applying it. Okay? Makes sense, because Abraham had a good name with God. And Enoch had a good name with God. And Noah did too. And so did Moses. And so did David. And so did Joseph. And so did Job. Right? Those men had a good name with God. And they really didn't care what everybody else around them thought. It was enough that their name was good before God. Now, paired with that in verse 1 of 22:1, notice the good name is to be rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor. Okay, loving favor. They had a good name, and again, I hold that this loving favor is before God. It's not men loving you and wanting to elect you to office. It's loving favor before the Lord. And I will just apply that to these men that we just mentioned. Here is Abraham. Abraham had loving favor. And the loving favor was not just given him. I mean, it's not like our salvation, which is all just given to us as a gift. But Abraham got loving favor because he obeyed and left Ur of the Chaldees and wandered. And two, because when God said, you believe me what I say about the stars of heaven and your seed, he says, I believe you. And so it was imputed for him to him for righteousness. I mean, he had loving favor with God. He had a good name with God because of his faithfulness. Here is Enoch. Enoch walked with God. One, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Right? He had a good name and he had loving favor before God. I don't know what men around him thought of him. I have some idea what the men around Noah thought of him, because none of them listened to him at all. Not a single one of them, after, you know, 75 years of preaching, not a one of them came and got on that boat for shelter and refuge. So I have some idea what the men of Noah's day thought of Noah. And the Bible says that Noah was faithful and that Noah walked with God. See, Noah, these men I'm naming, had good names with God. They had loving favor with God. Moses was faithful in all his house. David was the man after God's own heart. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Paul said that the Lord counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Antipas, we just preached about him a couple weeks ago, was my faithful martyr. He was against everybody. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? The point is a good name before God. Loving favor is not just the gift of salvation, but it's It's gold. It's something that you've purchased. It's come from Him. You've earned it. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay to be faithful. There's a price to pay to have a good reputation before God. There's a price to pay to have faith. There's a price to pay to walk with God. There's a price to pay to please God. And He said, you Laodiceans, I counsel you to repent. I counsel you to buy of Me gold trodden in the fire. You make sure you have good favor with Me. You make sure that you have a good name and a loving favor with Me, and we'll make this thing work. And so I say once again, you know, the Lord says, I counsel thee to buy of Me, gold tried in the fire. And those men had attributes that were tried in the fire. And in the end, they are the heroes of our faith. There's a few we didn't name that we could name, but we'd be here all night going through all of their virtues. But those men are Hall of Famers. Now look in Proverbs 25. Let me show you something else. I want to move along here. There are several left. Won't take too long. But Proverbs chapter 25. And notice verse 11, because we're studying gold. He said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And what I'm picturing with this is one of those fancy serving trays or something like that, that actually is, there's a relief aspect to it because it's three-dimensional. And so the decoration part of whatever is on the serving tray is actually three-dimensional, and it's more like engraven in. And it's all silver except for the apples. And they're apples of gold. And they stand out. And with all the words that are spoken in this world every day, he says, a word fitly spoken. Now, you wouldn't have to walk probably too far to figure out that some of that would be the Word of God. A word fitly spoken. Counsel that comes from the Word of God. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It would stand out. Then it says, verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Now the Lord said, you Laodiceans, it's not hopeless. You can still be rich. But you need to buy of Me gold. Tried in the fire. Okay. Now, first of all, here is a word fitly spoken. And then in verse 12, here is an ornament of fine gold, which is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Lord says, I counsel thee to buy of Me gold. Okay. Then what you need is a wise reprover with fit words. The friends that you choose, are they such friends as might wisely reprove you? Are they more full of the Word of God than they are nonsense? Or are they like the rest of the social media crowd? Know what I'm saying? But he says what you would do good to have is a wise reprover. And so I think that a pastor should be several things, and a preacher should be several things, and a father of children should be several things, and a mother of children should be several things, and friends. But among other things, they should be a wise reprover. It's up to you to have the obedient ear, but you need a wise reprover. That wise reprover is like, that fitly speaks, is like an apple of gold and pictures of silver. And so he is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. You need somebody to peel your hide at least twice a week. And then you take it and go home and be better for it. He says, if you will buy that gold from Me, then you can be rich. Even though right now you are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. I like that. That helps me, right? All right, look at something else. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. And while you're turning, Proverbs 27. Proverbs 17, Proverbs 27. See, I just investigated gold. The Lord is saying all these things are better than gold. And so they're gold to me. And he says, I counsel thee, you Laodiceans, to buy of me gold tried in the fire. It's going to cost something. Proverbs 17:3, notice this. Okay, the fining pot is for silver. The furnace for gold, we're talking here about a refinery. It's a furnace. And, of course, you boil and liquefy the silver and the gold in the fining pot and the furnace, and it boils off the impurities. You get to scrape that off. And it says, the fining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Okay, then by that verse, the gold is a man's heart that the Lord is purifying. The Lord is acting as a furnace, as a fining pot to purify the metal, and the metal is a man's heart. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. He had a good heart. And we all aspire to have that kind of heart. Now, look in Proverbs 27 and notice what else is added here. Proverbs 27, verse 21. Okay, notice here. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, because the fining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold, so is a man to his praise. So the man is the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold. He is the fining pot, he is the furnace. And as the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, so is the man to his praise. The man is the furnace, and it burns inside of him, praise is inside, and it's being purified. That's being purified because the Lord is trying the man. Right? And so praise from the heart. You know what your life is about? Your life is about you walking through this life, and there's some things that are going to happen. Part of it is we're going to be your fault, what you get yourself into, and the Lord's going to deal with you about those things. There's going to be some things that probably aren't your fault. You can't help who were your parents. You can't help a lot of things that the Lord's going to lay on you and he's going to allow to be. And what the Lord is doing, he is firing up the fining pot and the furnace for the silver and the gold. And he's building a fire under you so that he can see, so he sees whether or not he can get pure praise from you. And that praise should be purified more and more as it goes along. As you go more and more through life and face one more trial after another, the praise should get better and better, rather than more grumbly and more gripey and worse and worse. The Lord said, buy of me. Now, you're going to have to ascribe the things that happen to you in your life to God's hand. And he wants you to go through it. And rather than becoming the griping, grumbling, chiding Israelites, accept the wilderness for what it is and the trials that come along and say, well, praise the Lord. And at first it may come out a little like, well, praise the Lord. Like that. But as you go through more and more, it should get more and more purified. And just remember, he says, if you want to be rich, then if what I said about the furnace and the fining pot is true, then your praise should get more and more as you go through the Christian life. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. We good? Okay, look at something else here. This takes a little bit of a turn, just a little bit. And then we're almost done. Isaiah chapter 13. We have talked about that goal being the Word of God. We've talked about that goal to being wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We've talked about that goal to being a good name and loving favor that you achieve before God. We've talked about that goal of being a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. We've talked about that goal being praise from the heart. And here you have Isaiah chapter 13. And the whole context here is the second coming of Christ, the day of the Lord, and again, the second advent of Christ in wrath. And so we're pretty close to that, although we get out of here before that, correct? But verse 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger." Verse 10, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. Sun shall be darkened, and its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. I will punish the world for their evil." So it's the latter days. And I know I'm spiritualizing this a little bit. I have to. But verse 12, okay, in that context, and again, verse 13, "Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth." Well, that's the second coming of Christ. But notice what he says in verse 12, and we're going to make application to us here. "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." Okay, I'll make a man more precious than fine gold. Now, ladies, God bless you. But we need more men. If there's something that's not being built too much anymore, it's men. And I'm talking about the right kind of men. I'm not talking about just testosterone-laden, muscle-bound fools. I'm talking about real men. And sometimes with our children, we become so, you know, hovering and careful with them, and we just don't want anybody to beat upon. We never want the world to get on top of them. Look, you're going to have to let your men children go through some things. Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. He'll not depart from it. But you need to quit hovering over them, spoiling them, doing all that you can to turn them into girls while they're supposed to be growing into men. I'm just telling you, we're not training men anymore. It's a very feministic, feminine-laden society. It just is. I know by the number of earrings I count. Thank you very much. But just think about it. A man. "I will make a man more precious than fine gold." So if you are a man here, and you've been through some things, and you've come through some things, and you've been a Christian for several years, and you've grown, the Lord has a use for you, and you should let Him use you. You should do everything that you can to put yourself in a position for God to use you, because He says, "You Laodiceans, buy of me gold. Let me build your sons. Let me build you, and let me do something with you. But buy of me gold tried in the fire." You're going to go, there's a price to be paid. You're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some things in your marriage. You're going to go through some things growing up. If you're 17, 18, 19, you've probably been through some things growing up. You guess what you learned? Your parents aren't perfect. Okay, wah-wah, so what? Shut up. Get over it. Go on. Become a man. I'm not just trying to be a drill sergeant here. I'm just rebuking a generation that has raised up sissies. Be a man. He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." Apply that to your men children. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're getting pretty close now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. But it helps me. It's kind of hard to hear, yeah, you're part of the Laodicean church, you're just lukewarm and there's no help for you. That is not what the Lord said. He said, you are Laodiceans, yes, but I counsel thee to buy of me gold trodden in the fire, that you may be rich. See, you say you're rich, but you're not. So change, repent, buy of me gold trodden in the fire, that you may be rich. Because it's not too late. It's not too late. You can still overcome. You can still earn rewards. You can still have a successful judgment seat of Christ. Don't roll over and quit. Don't just yield to the lukewarmness of Laodicea. When you're freezing to death out in the cold, don't lay down and take a nap. Whatever it takes, stay on your feet, keep moving, get to the house, because you're going to lay down and die. So no matter how lukewarm you feel, keep going forward. Look in, what did I say? I'm not even there yet. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2. And I can find application here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and notice verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Praise the Lord for that. Having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are His. Praise God for that. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ, notice, depart from iniquity. Okay, that would be called the S word. Separation, right? Okay, verse 20. Y'all are so responsive. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. There are vessels in the day when there were no... Well, you know, there are still vessels, but we don't have chamber pots anymore, right? There was a day when in every house, in most every bedroom, there was a chamber pot. That was not a vessel of honor. That was a nasty vessel, right? And verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the vessels of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now, you notice back in verse 19, I think it was, that there are vessels of gold and silver. Okay, the vessels of gold and silver, you don't use as chamber pots. Use those to serve food, most usually, right? Okay, so if you want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel of gold, you got to stay away from the chamber pots, right? You know what that's called? That's called separation. And so the Lord says, take it and apply it, and apply it. He says, the Lord says, you Laodiceans, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You will pay the price. There's a price to be paid to be separate. Because there are people that will come after you doing everything they can to dirty you, to try to drag you back off into the hog sty, right? But the way that you avoid being that kind of vessel is by staying away from those vessels. It's called separation. So that's something that the Lord truly appreciates. He said, if you do that as part of this number of things that I've said, you can be rich. Look, one more place. No, two more places. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1. And you knew this was coming, probably. But it says, starting in verse 3, because I like the verses, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We are born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Part of your inheritance that, thankfully, that we have is incorruptible. There's a part of the inheritance that's laid up that cannot be spotted and messed up. But who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now this goes along with furnace being for gold and the finding pot for fire. That's true. But that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. To God, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. And don't forget, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me. Let me try you. Now he's not going to ask, and you say, oh, well, okay. That's not going to happen. He's going to try you whether you like it or not. Okay? But he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You need to yield to those trials. And the last verse, let me show you what Job said. Job 23. Job 23, verse 10. Job's in the middle of it. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He'll be purified gold. I think that's why the Lord named Job as often as he did, because he came forth as gold. Now, folks, the Lord says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. It's not too late. It's 2025. Good grief. It's 2025. The world is going nuts around us. And it's not too late for some Laodiceans to still be rich at the judgment seat of Christ. But you'll have to let the You have to buy of the Lord gold tried in the fire. Because everything else is just going to out into the draught. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you.